So, the exceptions to the rule. Without, you know, this is four sentences here. Some people live not by Yahweh's way, but they like to live by the exceptions to the rule. Such as, well, what about this? What about that? What about that? Women could possibly have some facial hair, and it would be sinful for them to, you know. Questions such as that, how many demons can dance on the head of a needle? No, I don't think they asked that question, but, you know, it gets to be living always by the exceptions to the rule, then we're, our faith is based on that instead of based on Yahweh's word, where it says in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 and Deuteronomy 8 how we are to live. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. We're looking at Matthew though right now in Yahawhosha or Yahweh HaMashiach or the Messiah or in King James Jesus. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. Now that scripture, that concept of living by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, and also Isaiah 28, line upon line, here a little, there a little, establishes our basis for belief in everything, in every facet of life that we do. That some live by the exceptions to the rule, and I'm not going to be basing my salvation on exceptions all the time. If we just want to straddle and cross the line or the fence and live as worldly as possible, like most of the religions these days, the modern Western religions and Jewish sects as well, get into worldliness, into materialism, and seeker-friendly, whatever feels good. And this is a concept that came out of Berkeley, California, out of the colleges down in universities back in the 60s, in the hippie era. Not that hippies were bad, but because they can be good, but there's good ones and bad ones. But anyway, that they always said that whatever feels good, then you should do it. If it feels good, do it. And love means not having to say you're sorry, was another one of their things that came out. And then that went into the churches 30 years later. Love means not having to say you're sorry, or love means just love yourself and your neighbor. But there's more to it than that. We don't want to cross the line, and in these last days, we need to follow all the word of Yahweh, line upon line. And now before we close, we've got another couple of minutes. How many can say that if the commandments, statutes, and judgments, if they are right, in Psalms 19 and 119, that I will take the time to do personal study? I know that it's tough after a long day at work and you have to drive home for a couple of hours in traffic in Seattle or the LA freeway or Boston, but be accountable to Yahweh, whom you might call him by the title, but we call him Yahweh. Be accountable to Yahweh and then to pastors. Be accountable more to Yahweh than to pastors and more mere men. And then look at Isaiah 8:19. If they speak not according to this word, according to the law and to the testimony, the Torah and the testimony, then there is no light in us. So what does that mean to you? Isaiah 8:20. In the KJV. If you look at a modern version or the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower, it doesn't make any sense what it says, or at least it's not connected in the context with what they were just discussing. So they changed it, but I can go back to the original Hebrew and look at each word and find out that the King James is correct in that 8:19 of Isaiah, or Yeshayahu. See the light? Those of you who accuse us of being legalists ought also to accuse Paul of the same. Did Paul try to confuse Jewish believers by keeping the feast of Yahweh, hoping to convert them over to sun keeping? No. What's an undefined relationship with Yahweh? Well, that's one with no standards, no particulars, or definitions. In that oblivious relationship. Just do whatever feels good, baby. If it feels right, do it. That's the new evangelical charter or logo. Just if it feels right, then that is right, is what they say. They picked that up from the 1960s and 70s. The emergent church has adopted some of these things which are failure-bound, but many must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Matthew 4:4, and to live by Yahweh's covenant, which is first mentioned in specifics in Exodus, that is Shemot, Exodus 20. Well, you could go, you know, back up before that, but mainly Exodus 20 through 23, you know, and it continues, and then specifically picks up in Deuteronomy 4. It also picks up in Numbers before that, but it's throughout the scripture from beginning to end, to live by every word. And the question to ask is, does what you believe and study, does that affect your behavior? Are you living it? It's all about loving the Heavenly Father. Well, if it is, well, then praise Yahweh that you are following His ways. What about these house churches that, you know, you hear about church hoppers? You know, why didn't a person just stay where they were at, and they stay in there? Catholic Church, I mean, after all, there are good people there that you can meet, very friendly, lead a clean life. Shouldn't they have just stayed there and kind of helped to make it better? But, you know, the scripture, especially in Paul's writings in Corinthians and Thessalonians, tells us to be separate and come out from among the unclean thing, and not the people are unclean necessarily, but the doctrine. House churches should be well disciplined, and they might be good alternatives to these modern wishy-washy, do-your-own-thing, liberal, strange, fire, no-doctrine churches. The so-what doctrine is what some of them call that. Those who only honor with their lips, Yeshayahu or Isaiah, Isaiah 29:13. I think I'll just say Isaiah because there's nothing wrong that I know of saying Isaiah. But Yeshayahu is the Hebrew word for Isaiah. If I slip and I say it again, that's what I mean, is Isaiah. And then Jeremiah 11, verse 4, talks about obedience. And I wish we had time to go into it, but we don't. And then Jeremiah 16, being cast out. Chapter 16, verses 11 to 13 is, we worry about concerned about being cast out, and also later on in chapter 26, verse 4 of Jeremiah, and Deuteronomy 22. And this is no rocket science. It's very easy to. These chapters are in the first five books of your scriptures, and you can find Deuteronomy 22. That establishes our basic understanding of behavior. And also about divorce and remarriage, specifically there in Deuteronomy 22, we hear about the exception clause. Didn't Moses allow for divorce? But you'd have to go back actually to the original intent and the original law. And what did he mean there about divorce? Well, it's not Deuteronomy 24, it's Deuteronomy 22, because 22, the last time I checked, comes before 24. Chapter 24, verse 1 is good, but if you back up, you find out that it refers to that he found her not a virgin. That was the exception clause, that if a woman had porneia or uncleanness, and or if a man had it as well, you know, then there was an exception there that had to be discovered early, and then quickly. As Joseph was going to do with Miriam or Mary, he was going to privately put her away. And so we would have to actually provide for that woman. In my mind, we'd have to provide for her the rest of her life, make sure that she or her children or whatever, you know, to be all taken care of. Deuteronomy 22 is before Deuteronomy 24. You have built houses to yourselves, so it's high time now for Yahweh's house to be built. Unless, of course, he's going to be coming back in 2 seconds. Another subject there, but look in Ezra for more instructions on the, how the house of Yahweh should be built. And yes, we are against the ecumenical movement per se. It's, you know, we don't all have to go back to Rome. There's nothing in Scripture that says we have to return to Rome, and I don't think we should. And we're also against big labor or any entity which forces people to do the will of the elite. So we're against communism and most forms of socialism. And that is the end of this site here. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Stefania Eber, and we've been talking about exceptions to the rule. And overall, the title of this was The Bondage of Black Hats. Thank you very much for joining us, and shalom.